Our reading this morning is from Psalm 103, reading the first 14 verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desire with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. This is the word of the Lord.
I chose Psalm 103 because it's a psalm that speaks so extravagantly about God's love. But we're in this series in Jonah. And so if you've got your Bibles with you, if you can turn to that first chapter, that would be really good. Last week we heard about God's great power. I want to say thank you to Nigel for an excellent sermon that spoke again about the power that God has over everything, the cosmos. It was quite interesting, wasn't it, in the chapters that we looked at together, that God has the power to create a storm. He had the power and the authority to guide a fish. The power and the authority to make a plant to grow and also to wilt. And it does appear to me quite an interesting thing that the Lord has this incredible power and creation listens to it. The only part of creation that struggles with listening to God, I find, is ourselves. Humanity seems to be the big part of the problem. And so I absolutely long for a greater appreciation of God's power and authority, especially when we're looking at a world that is so broken, that is so hurting. We need to have a fresh vision of God's power and authority. Would you agree? And then Jesus says, when his last words to his disciples, all authority has been given to me, therefore we go. And so we go in his authority. So we need a bigger view of God. We need a bigger view of the power and authority that he has. But I'm going to say that the only thing that matches God's power within the book of Jonah is God's great love. I looked at it. The fish is mentioned 4 times. Great city of Nineveh is mentioned 9 times. You find 20 references to the prophet Jonah, but you find God's love everywhere. And especially God's remarkable love for lost people. In the story, and you'll know the story quite well, God comes to the prophet and asks him to travel 700 miles northeast to go to the Assyrians and preach to them so that they might repent and turn to God. As you know, Jonah was reluctant to go and to give the message that God had asked him to give. And as I read that, I thought to myself, oh my word, how current that is. We know that the commission has been given to us to go and to take this message. And if you're anything like me, I find so often I'm reluctant just to even share something, even if it comes up in conversation, whether through shyness or embarrassment or whatever, whatever it is, but we can relate to the prophet. But the point I want to get at here is God's incredible heart for lost people. Please have a look at verses 1 and 2 with me in chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, preaching against it doesn't sound very loving, does it? But actually, God's word is never there to condemn, but it is there to open eyes. I don't know about you, on the occasions when I've gone to see a consultant, I don't want the consultant to say to me, there, we'll forget with the scans because they might upset you. We would not be happy. What we want the consultant to do is actually to examine exactly what the situation is and then deal with it. And that's what God's word does. God says, there's a problem with sin. We're all rebels. We're all like Jonah. We all want to go our own way. That's the problem. But God says, in Jesus, I've created a way so that you can receive my forgiveness. You can receive hope. You can receive healing. Anybody got an amen for that? That is the glorious gospel that we have to share. And if you look in verse 10 of chapter 3, we see that the Assyrians, the Ninevites, remarkably, they listen to the prophet Jonah. They put on sackcloth. I've never put on sackcloth, but I know what itchy feels like sometimes. You know when you put something through the wash, and whatever reason, it's then itchy. It's horrible feeling. But they did this deliberately so that they would feel humbled before God. And when God sees humble hearts, he acts, he moves. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But please note this. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish, which was about 2,000 miles away from Nineveh. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." You see, God's love is so sensational. So remarkable, so, can I say it, outrageous. Throughout scripture you see God seeking us out. It starts right back at the garden. God says to Adam and Eve, I've given you this beautiful place and the only thing that you can't do is eat of that tree. What do they do? Can anybody relate to that? When you're told that you can't do something and you want to do it? I'm sure it doesn't relate to you. It relates to me. If I see a sign, don't step on the grass, guess what I want to do? Why? Because grass was meant for cricket. Okay, I know you all agree with that. See, what I've had to come to terms with, and it's actually a very, it's a soul-opening moment, is I've had to come to realize that my ability to love is so different to God's. So different. So God's love is so much greater than ours. See, God comes looking for us. He started in the garden. And then Jesus tells the parable, doesn't he, about the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And this morning, unless we are right in the center of where God wants us to be, he sees us as lost, as people not following that narrow way that he's called us to live on. And he says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. But we like going off in all kinds of different directions. And God says, would you please come to me? Because without me, you are lost. And if you're in rebellion, you'll never know peace, as Jonah was to discover. Let me just say that God loved people that Jonah disapproved of. I could have used strong words there. One of the things that breaks my heart when people comment about the church is how judgmental the church can be. about certain people in society, whether it's the color of skin or whether it's their gender or whatever it might be. That as Christians, we find it easy to actually criticize and condemn. But actually, when you look into the eyes of Jesus, when he encounters people who've been caught in sin, what he does is restore them. He gives them dignity. And he also says to them, you belong here. And my prayer, my hope is that for all the people who ever come through the doors here, whatever lifestyle choices they choose, that they will meet people who just say, welcome, you belong here. When God saw what they'd done and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. And then in verse 3 it says, please God, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He preferred to die rather than to see God's love and mercy in action. Does that sound staggering? Does that sound unbelievable? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that actually I can sort of understand where he may be coming from here. Because he lived in a place called Gath Hepher, which is right in the northern part of Israel. And this was an area that would have had attacks from, there would have been raids from the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were known to be brutal and horrible. And he might have known of people or even family, relatives, who actually were impacted by the cruelty of the Assyrians. Now, fast forward, I can't begin to imagine what it's like in Ukraine now, but can you imagine us going up to an Ukrainian who's heard about atrocities that have happened by certain elements of the Russian army, and we say to these poor Ukrainians, now God's calling you to love these people. You can understand why their reaction might be hostile. Do you get what I mean? You see, so it's very easy for us to condemn Jonah here, but actually, when push comes to shove, when our buttons are pressed, our love goes through the floorboards, and God doesn't. It is an extravagant, astonishing love. Now, of course, please hear this. I'm not saying that God loves the things that we do, the bad things that we do. Of course he doesn't. He hates sin. But all of us here are sinners. And I just thank God that he's a God who loves sinners. And when he infuses his spirit into our souls, that enables us to look at people who've hurt us, who maybe have betrayed us, and we're able to see them through Jesus' eyes, then that Holy Spirit transaction of love is what the hope for this world is. And that's why it's so desperate for us to be people of the book. Wasn't it wonderful yesterday where millions of people were watching when the king was presented with the Bible and these words were repeated again that were repeated to his mother. We give you now the greatest thing this world can give you. I wanted to cry. The truth in that, you see, because in God's word is the word. Jesus is the word. He is the truth. He is the life. And this is the gospel that we need to give to this world. But church, it starts here. We can't go talking about love and God's extravagant love out there without experiencing and asking God desperately to fill us with his love in here. When I was thinking about this, two people came to mind. One was Corrie Ten Boom. You know, she's a hero of mine. When she was released from Ravensbrück as a result of a clerical error, but we know that God sorted it. And she went on a mission after the war into Germany to preach a gospel with forgiveness at his heart. And you know the story that she was preaching in this one particular occasion, and one of the cruel prison guards came towards her, holding out a hand to shake a hand, and she recognized it was one of the guards that was particularly brutal to her sister. Now, you know, her sister died in the same camp. And she said to God in one of those arrow prayers, God, I cannot forgive this person. And just gently and tenderly, God says, but I've forgiven that person. Ask me and I will give you the power and the strength to forgive them. And so she prayed, Lord, lift my hand up because it won't go from my side to just shake that person's hand. And as she prayed that prayer, what she found was that both hands came up and she just embraced this God. See, that's love that comes from the throne of grace. The other example was of a Irishman, Northern Irishman, called Gordon Wilson. You remember the story at Enniskillen? The IRA bombed on Remembrance Day in Enniskillen back in 1987. He with his daughter were caught up in the bombing. They were pulled out of the rubble. Sadly, his daughter died as a result of the bombing. And his words to the cameras were, I bear no ill will. I bear no grudge. And his plea to the loyalists, do not seek revenge. Let us seek reconciliation. So that's a God thing. Would you agree? It's not a natural thing for us. If people hurt us, if people hurt those that we love, you tend to want to retaliate. It's not God's way. God comes looking for sinners because he loves us. Did you notice who Jesus hung out with? Let me just read this from Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now, tax collectors today, we prefer not to pay tax. I get that, but we understand it. But we don't think them as being demons. Well, most of us don't anyway. They're just fulfilling a role. But back then, these were people who were working for the Romans. And what would happen is that the Romans would set a tax, and then these people would add on top of that, and they would line their own pockets. These were basically thieves. And they were despised. They were despised by the Jews. And Jesus goes and eats with them. More than that, he calls one of them to be his disciple. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, those with a religious spirit saw this. They asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. What a gospel we have. Of God comes this morning, just as we are. And he says, I want you to be part of my family. Come as you are. Because Jesus can wash away any stain, any sin that we're ashamed of. Anything. God calls us to love people. I remember speaking at the Welsh Assembly on one occasion. It was just a Christian Union gathering. It wasn't the main thing. It was just a small group of people. And I remember asking the question, just as a starter, what do you think is missing from church? What would you change? And people talked about different songs that they'd sing. And people would say there needs to be more of an emphasis on scripture. And the sermons need to be longer or shorter or whatever. You name it. And so there were lots of responses. And I said, if I could change anything, I'd want to see more love in our churches. Well, I thought I was going to be thrown out. And the reason was because love has been equated to something that is soft, that turns a blind eye to sin, where anything goes. Do you know that kind of mentality? But God's love never turns a blind eye. Why do you think he sent Jonah to the Assyrians? He said, what you're doing is wrong. You've got to change. In chapter 2, Jonah begins to get the message that God wasn't happy with him running away. But we'll talk more about that next week. But I want to read some verses to you now from Ephesians. And I think these verses are for us as a church right now. They're always for us, but especially now, especially this season that we've been going through. Let me read it to you. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, your old attitudes, your old behaviors, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the way that we think. And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, that's the kind of love that God is talking about. It's gritty love. When I think of love, I think of it as being hard as nails. The nails that were pierced through the hands and the feet of our Savior. See, when I think of love, I think of Calvary love. I think of Gethsemane love. That made him go through what he did. Why? Because of his remarkable love for you and for me. And that's the kind of love that God calls us to have. Now, it's impossible, of course. As we said earlier, our reservoirs, they dry out very quickly. By the way, I heard the other day, do you know all the rain we've been having? Can you believe they've got a hosepipe ban in Devon? Can you believe it? Because what happens? Our reservoirs run dry so quickly. And so this morning, my prayer for each of us, that we would cry out to God. And say, would you fill me with your kind of love, God? Would you help me see people through your eyes? May the words that come out of my mouth nourish, not give food poison. See, because God loves us, he will not turn a blind eye to what we do. And next week, we'll have a look at this theme about when God gets our attention. But I want to finish this morning in chapter 3. And verse 1, because I love this verse, because it talks about God giving us a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. Jonah 3:1, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. We know what he did the first time. He ran. But God gives us another chance. I was talking to somebody in a coffee shop just recently, where they were stood in Galilee, and it's likely to be the beach where Jesus meets the disciples post-resurrection. And can you remember what he did on that beach? Can you remember to tell me? He restored Peter, didn't he? What did Peter do? He denied Christ three times, didn't he? And Jesus says to him, I want you to feed my sheep, Peter. I want you to feed my lambs. You see, God never, ever gives up on us. And he gives us a second, a third, and a fourth chance. And I've got a quote here. Click on to the next slide. Thank you. And it's from Jim Packer, a great godly man, written some outstanding books. But this is a quote that just struck me. I thought it was appropriate for this morning. It says, "There is tremendous relief in knowing that God's love for me is based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst in me. No discovery can disillusion him in the way I'm so often disillusioned about myself or quench his determination to bless me. There is great cause for humility in the thought that he sees all the twisted things about me that others don't see. Indeed, he sees more corruption in me than I see in myself. Yet he wants me as his friend and desires to be my friend and has given his son to die for me in order for me to realize this purpose." Isn't that the gospel in a nutshell? George Morrison writes, "The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings." And my prayer for each of us, whether you're here in person or joining us online, is that we would choose today that this would be a new beginning where we would cry out to God and say, "Please, God, fill me with that kind of love." Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he means to us. We thank you for the way that he keeps reaching out his hand to pick us up out of a miry pit when we've messed up again. We thank you, Lord, for the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth chances. Because that's the kind of God you are. Well, help us, Lord, to be that kind of people. To be that kind of church that reaches out the hand to lift up, to embrace. Father, for those this morning who don't yet know that they're in your family, I pray by your Spirit that there would be a longing for them to know this kind of love, a kind of love that this world cannot offer, but the world desperately needs. So, Father, we offer ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go, let me just pray a prayer of blessing on everybody that's here and watching online. Father, thank you for one another. We thank you for this great love that we've been hearing about again this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, even throughout this day, to just be available to receive more and more of you. Because we know, Lord, this is a world that desperately needs us to be soaked in you. So, Father, please, fill us, renew us, enable us to be your salt and light wherever we go. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.